Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of the WorkingMusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and in a world of diminishing live music, we're keeping it alive. I've got a fantastic group today. Great name, great characters. We're in for a lot of fun. Blue Mozart, say hi to the audience.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
That's right. Right next to me, we've got Mozart Rottweiler. In the middle, we've got Artie, who's normally the bass player. No, not normally the bass player.
Not normally. I play bass on some songs.
Okay. Who's the bass player? Oh, you're normally the bass player.
Three quarters of the time.
I play four instruments. I play all of them throughout the night.
We switch around.
Good.
Keep it
multi-musicians.
All right. And then we got John. Okay, so now that I don't know what anybody plays, because you sound like one of those groups where everybody swaps instruments during the night.
Yes. So like a Todd Rundgren type of band.
A couple of times a night.
Okay, so the leader and founder would be Mozart Rottweiler. Are you really that vicious? Or?
Well, I got that name a long time ago. I was playing a 50s band in the early 70s called Your Mother's Nightmare. And we used to do sha-na-na type thing, and I used to arrange for the group, and the guitarist was always pulling out his hair and above my arrangements, and he said, "Who do you think you are, effing Mozart?" And I said, "I'll take that." And every time I'd do something like that and over-arrange, he'd say, "Hey, Mozart." It was a put-down. So I took the name and I kept it. Rottweiler, my last name is impossible to pronounce. It's an Italian name. Everybody remembers Rottweiler. And they think I'm a little crazy, too, anyway. So it works.
What's your real Italian name?
Guagenti.
Guagenti.
I'll ask you at the end of the interview and see if you remember it. It's impossible.
Is there money involved in this? I'll work a little harder. Guagenti. Okay. Artie, how did you get your name?
Simple, Artie. Another Italian name, right? Another Irish name, Scacosa, my last name.
Say that again?
Scacosa.
I got more trouble with that name.
Yeah, I was going to say, that
Vigente.
One. He needs a new one.
He needs a new one.
Multiple double consonants.
Multiple Scacosa.
His is the easiest.
John?
Drake.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Should be able to remember that one.
Okay. So how did you guys get together?
Well, I was trying to put a blues band together that would be a little bit different than the normal blues. I wanted more like a Howlin' Wolf sound, more of a crossover sound. I came in, I met John first and worked with him, and I was thinking we need a heavy metal, hard-driving guitarist. And actually it was the Mount Kisco band,
Katona
Jam, run by Gary Schwartz. And I met this guy over here. And we went into Suzy Q right into Purple Haze, and he was able to do it.
That's
nobody else I know could do that. He wasn't thrown off by fast changes and just off the cuff switches.
Well, it's the same beat, so.
Well, and he's got the background, the heavy metal background to pull it off.
So you guys really met through a jam setting, is that it?
But it's a supermarket in Westchester. You have so many good players here. You can go there, you can test drive all your musicians. If you like it, you set up a jam. If you don't like it, you get next day, you find 10 other drummers, you know?
Now, who are we missing? Who could not make it today?
Ken Green couldn't make it. He's working today.
And
he plays the drums. He's our drummer, yeah.
Only the drums.
Only the drums.
Only the drums this time. Oh, he sings one song.
Okay.
That's correct.
So mostly you kind of rock up the blues.
Essentially.
Very good.
Straight
very good
roots
description.
Blues. Muddy Waters.
Name some songs.
Killing Floor. 44 Blues, which is an unusual one. You don't hear that done a lot. She Moves Me.
The Hunter.
Artie sings. We do some modern rock, but we change it.
some stuff.
And how do you find the market for this type of material in 2008?
It's getting better. Most people think the songs are original because they're so old, and I explained to them.
Well, a lot of people haven't heard of these blues songs, actually.
Right. So Killing Floor, I explain it's the Lemon Song by Zeppelin. The first two albums, Allman Brothers albums, are all covers of old root blues tunes.
So is the first Zeppelin
We've
album.
We've all heard these tunes 1,000 times by 1,000 different people.
Right, but that was 1967, 68. It's now 40 years later.
Some of them all the way back to mid-40s.
Right, right. Well, what Zeppelin and those other groups did, or even the Doors with Backdoor Man, is they took a rock energy, they took the thing, and they changed it. So you guys are then taking what Zeppelin and the Doors did and changing it to your own thing.
Well, we're actually going back to the original tone and redoing it entirely, trying to forget what the other people have done.
Back to basics.
Our man here is a Grateful Dead a guy. He knows their licks. He likes Django Reinhardt. This guy loves Black Sabbath. I'm strictly traditional. I go all the way back to the 50s and doo-wop. So between the three of us, we make these tunes come alive, make them a little bit differently. Hopefully we bring them back where people can listen to them.
Well, it sounds to me, now I've played with all of you guys at the jams, but never together.
True.
Now I just tell you a funny story. I went down to the PNC Art Center, and I went to see Bob Ware and Rat Dog and the Allman Brothers. And PNC Art Center, you can either pay a certain amount, sit on the lawn, or you could actually sit under the dome. So my friend who got the tickets put us on the lawn. I bought a lawn chair for $5, rented a lawn chair. The second I sat in that chair, it rained for 5 straight hours, and it didn't just rain.
I hate when that happens.
You know, this is the weird thing to me. I belong to a local pool club in Valhalla. And every time there's thunder or lightning, they evacuate the pool. They throw us out into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm in New Jersey, and you can see lightning coming from the universe and, like, hitting the friggin' dome. And I'm thinking, no one's evacuating us here. And there's all these big transmission towers all along. But anyway, Bob Weir was awesome. I was never a big Bob fan, but he's just getting better and better and better. Anyway, so name some clubs that you play at.
Cladis, we played Cladis, Station 7.
I can't hear.
Cladis, it's
Irish
a bar. And,
it's an Irish name.
Okay.
6. The Ducks Inn in Larchmont.
Right.
Mamaroneck.
Quite a few. Mamaroneck, Dennis. And Chat 19 will be playing there in
October. Be making our debut there, actually, in October.
For the first time.
The good old Roadhouse.
A Roadhouse.
Not the one in Irvington, but the one up in Brewster.
Yeah, I used to play that club around 5 or 6 years ago. I had a little trouble getting the crowd there.
They're doing really well now.
Yeah, these days they've really picked up a little bit.
They have a Friday thing going on with live music that people even outside smoking are dancing.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, so that's awesome. Now, I know I was talking to you on the phone. Right now, you book it all yourself?
Right now, I'm doing that. We just got Vic at Glamazon. He's going to start booking us, doing the booking for me. I just can't be running around like that anymore. It's hard booking. It's more work than working as a musician, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had one club that I was supposed to play at this summer, and they outright canceled 2 of my dates. They double booked me on the 3rd, and I finally played a 4th.
It's the one we talked about in Fishkill.
No, I don't want. It's
no
a different club.
Man.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to mention names.
I don't want to mention.
That's why I didn't mention.
Well, stop.
But they've done that to us too. Places have done that to us. They call this double booking.
Right, but I mean, what I loved about this club is I called the guy up and I said, you know, I have to pay my people, regardless of whether you double book or cancel me. And his response to me was, you know, if it was up to me, I wouldn't even have you bands play at this club. You're too much trouble.
Mm. This is what we have to go through.
So
these days, it's not
just
easy.
Just a taste.
Just a little taste. But, you know, my feeling was if I was bringing in 50 to 100 people every gig I played, I wouldn't be getting that attitude. Mm. Right. So I know you do mostly covers, but today you're going to do an original song for us. What's it called?
Well, this is about the trials and tribulations and verbal insubordinations of romanticism. It's got two names. It's either Backstabbing Mama or Loving You Is Like Hating Myself.
Cogente, is that it?
So okay. You missed it already.
I missed it already?
Want the $5.
Okay. All right, so you guys take your picks out and...
Arm yourselves.
arm yourselves and let it.
Are we
let's
armed?
Rock and roll.
Let it rip.
People together with different influences, and it just clicks, you know. Just it's the sum is greater than the whole. Many years ago, I played in a band called the Sensitive Guys, and it was that kind of band. None of us was particularly good, but when we played together, there was a magic. So I think you guys got that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Now, I know you guys, well, let's get to some of the canned questions, all right? So usually the question that I ask, the first question is, what CDs would you bring to a desert island? So why don't we start with that one? And you know what? Why don't we start with you?
two would be, let me see, Waiting for Columbus by Little Feat, and The Ultimate Collection by Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli.
Ah, nice.
To reflect upon.
Now, I got a beef to pick with Waiting for Columbus, is that when they took it from a double, a two-disc record, and they made it into a single CD.
You're correct about that.
They dropped a tune that I do. They dropped two tunes.
You do.
But Don't Bogart That Joint, they dropped off that.
That's correct.
And I love that song.
Yeah.
But good choice.
Gotta love Tower of Power.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Tower of Power playing fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys just tour constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. Artie.
Well, simply as he said, one of my favorite bands, Black Sabbath, probably the first Black Sabbath album I would probably definitely take, and another band called Rush, 2112, that album. Because that's more of a concept album, which I used to like the idea of bands putting together like concept albums.
Now, what tunes were on the 2112 album? I mean, did they have any hits on that album?
To tell you the truth, not really.
Like No Tom Sawyer? Or
no Tom Sawyer or anything like that. That was before the more commercial stuff kind of hit, but that's the one that really put them on the map, so to speak, with the actual song 2112, which had an overture, and it was like a whole side of an album back then. If you remember, before CDs came, you had a whole side of an album where everything went, told kind of a story, and then the second side was kind of generic songs, more or less, but that was more or less the...
You know, it's a funny thing about albums and what you say. I was talking to this woman, and she'd never used an iPod before. So I was showing her how to do it. For me, the hardest part of the iPod was turning that dial around, because I'd never seen anything
because
like
you're
that.
Not a little kid.
Right.
Like I said, my daughter has the iPod.
Right.
She has to show me how to use it.
Let me fit the albums in there.
But anyway... So I said, well, you know, you ought to pick up an iPod. And she goes, oh, yeah. She says, but do I have to put whole CDs on there, or I can only put the songs I like? So right there, you can hear the death of the album, death of the concept album.
Well, now we have the death of the CD.
Well, you know.
I was going to say, that's kind of a weird question, bring CDs. And it's like, I'm going to load up my MP3.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, where is your CD? What did I do with it? It's probably over there.
It's over in the
corner.
Shall I go get that? Or?
No. Maybe we'll have someone bring it up to us if possible. But, so the business has changed a lot. But, you know, the record companies are all claiming that their sales are going down, and it's because they're claiming that people are basically stealing the music from BearShare and LimeWire. And you know what? I don't think that's the case. You know, this woman's telling me, I really like this new song. She told me the name of the song. I went to VH1.com, and I watched the video of the whole song. Now, why on earth am I going to buy the CD if any time I want to hear it, I can go like a million places? Yeah, we're good. Thank you so much. That's our cameraman, Joe. Give it up for Joe.
All right, Joe.
I got to give my props to Joe because he set us up in these chairs like this, which is a little different. Awesome idea. Thanks to Rita, who did a nice job mixing. It's very weird when we do this live because we have an overhead mic, and we got three of these little throat mics. And afterwards, I'm going to tell you what she actually used. I think it's all going through your mic. That's it. And everything else is off. But she makes it sound good. And then we got Keith. And I'm not sure what he's doing back there, but I'm sure he's doing something great. Anyway, I'm going to hold up your CD. I'm going to do it slowly. Hope my hands don't shake. Am I doing it right?
Available on CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon.com.
Okay. I'm giving you time, so now we're going to slightly lower it. Okay.
Now I got three more.
Okay. You got three more, so you're going to leave this with me? So that's awesome. So now you sell this on CDBaby.com?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Are you happy with that?
Well, it seems physical CDs have slackened off. You sell single songs.
So you sell them off your MySpace website? Is that where you sell them?
Well, CD Baby is doing a good job. Most sales you get are on iTunes, and especially in Europe. They're picking up. They're really starting to like blues in France, Germany. You get some downloads in Japan. iTunes has pieces of themselves in all those countries. There's an iTunes Europe. There's an iTunes Canada.
Australia.
So you're not selling them off of MySpace?
No. Very few. No. MySpace doesn't sell very much.
CD Baby is the one who...
CD Baby is a very good company.
Puts it out on iTunes and all these other...
Oh, okay.
They're the ones responsible for doing that. Of course, they take their cut, but that's fine because they're doing the work for you.
Well, you don't mind paying if someone's actually doing something.
If something's getting it out there for you, right. They deserve it.
You could pay 30%, something like that to them.
Well, what I really love about CD Baby... is that anybody can, you know, basically record a CD or these tracks very cheaply on a Mac or a PC. You know, you don't need a recording studio anymore. You can record it very cheaply, and then you can put it on CD Baby. You give them 30%, but like you don't need the record company now.
Yeah.
So there's a whole what I call a shadow world, and I say to people, you know, if you're sick of commercial music, you don't need to hear it or buy it. There's this whole other universe out there, which I think is awesome. So let me talk a little bit about your instruments. When you're playing live, what do you play? You play a little harp?
Well, I play harmonica, usually when I'm playing guitar, because it's very hard to play harp when you're playing bass. I know Slippery Chicken is able to do it. I don't know how he pulls that off.
Jerry Skorin. They've been on the show.
Yeah. But, we've met him. He's a nice guy. But, I play bass, guitar, and harp. Usually on the more traditional things, I play a little slide. I've got a different style than these guys, so I generally play those songs specifically.
So, when you play slide, do you play open tuning or standard tuning?
Standard tuning, a lot like Muddy Waters would play, because I can't be dragging around two guitars and retuning things. So,
you could have one guitar tuned open and one...
Plus the bass and everything else.
Oh, I see.
That's too much.
So you bring the bass.
Yeah.
So would you say 75% of the time you're on guitar?
No,
75% of the bass, actually.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot your name, forgot what you played. It's great.
I sing most of the tones.
That's what music's all about, right?
Okay, and you, Artie? You mostly guitar?
Yeah, mostly 75%, mostly guitars. Some songs I'll play the bass on when, like I said, he wants to play more traditional, or when he's playing the harp with the bass. I mean, with the guitar, it's easier for him to transfer over, just like what we did with this song. He'll do that, actually, when we play that live also. I'll be playing bass during that song.
I got you. What about you, John? Just 100% guitar?
No, I play bass in at least two songs.
At least a couple, yeah.
So you guys are just swapping it around. Now, is it your bass that gets swapped all over the place?
Yeah, they always complain. I have a very heavy, heavy bass.
What kind of bass is it?
It's an old Kramer. I picked it up in Louisiana in a pawn shop.
It weighs about $120.
Is
it with an aluminum neck?
Yeah,
I remember those. Four string?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weighs a ton.
But you like it?
It's fitting for me. I got cello strings on it.
And cello strings.
Very thick, heavy strings. So they have a sustain to them. They're wrapped in vinyl. When I get off that and play a normal electric guitar with 0.09 strings, I break the strings because my hands are too heavy for it. So my guitar is set up with high action and heavy strings also.
Yeah, that makes sense. I put E string 10 on my guitar.
Me too.
I use 9.5s actually.
9.5.
They can make a 9.5.
What kind of guitar do you play?
I've got a 72 SG.
Nice guitar. Two pickups or three?
Two.
1980 SG.
How many pickups? Two or three?
Two. with Seymour Duncan in the tail end, customized by myself.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
He's the humbucker portion of the guitar arsenal.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay. and you, sir?
Strat. I have an 89 Strat that I just put new Texas Special pickups in. That's really nice.
That's the Stevie Ray pickups?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
And what's different about them? I'm sorry.
Brighter, fuller, snappier. I had Lace Sensor pickups and they didn't have the
thin, little thin
crunchy
sound.
You got to keep it crunchy with this guy.
Yeah, my guitar is powerful, you know, so it's... Well, that's where our sound develop comes from, because it's
three
two different type
different
of
styles.
Two different sounds going at the same time almost. It's just quite...
Right, but I mean, that's good. I mean, basically, you probably, you know, you take out different parts of the harmonic spectrum. You know, you fill different parts.
Yeah, I figure two Fenders together would just sound, you know, the same all the time.
Right,
yeah.
Now, do you guys make sure, like, when you're playing, that you don't double the guitar parts, but, like, you'll play the chord, like, one will play the chord down here and one maybe in the middle, so you...
Most of the time, we try to stay aware of what we're doing, you know.
We do some double leads in some of the songs, and it's very loose. I feel if we play the song the same way twice, we're not doing our job. It's got to be that loose blues format that you'll see at the jams. I like to keep that going.
Well, I think it's good, because that way people know that if they see you two nights in a row, it's going to be different.
We have certain arrangements for the songs, but sometimes they do change, you know, depending on how we may feel that night.
Sure. I know how you guys do that. I want to thank you. This is part one of our show. I think we're going to take a bathroom break and then do part two.
Thanks
for coming down, Blue Mozart.
Anytime.
You're welcome.
Great show, and I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
In 15 minutes.
Okay.
I want.